if there's going to be any oppression done, I'll guarantee you I'm the one doing it. Not the other way around. Amen. That's the truth. They don't oppress me, and I don't oppress them because I don't have to. Why? Because I taught the Word of God. I teach them the Word of God, and I do that which is right. And when my wife agrees with me, praise God, and when she doesn't, hey, get it right, woman. If it pleases you to stay with me, then praise God. If not, there's the door. Bye-bye. Get another life. Some people say, Brother Houston, that's not love. That's what God's kind of love is. Do you think God is going to put up with your shenanigans when you're wrong and bless you and reward you when you're in rebellion and doing that which is wrong? No way. He's not going to do it. And neither should the husband in the family reward wrongdoing. We have a brother in the Lord, I'm not going to name his name. We have a brother in the Lord that his children are holy terrors. His wife is a feminist. I don't know what all. And I told this man months and months ago, man, you better get your house in order. Because if you don't, this is going to happen. Boom, 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 boom. Lay it right down for him. And what happened? Since I've been up here, I talked to my wife, the man in Community Church down in South Carolina, and he's hanging his head almost to tears. He said, everything Brother Richard said has come to pass. Boom, 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 boom. It happens. Folks, you may be looking at me, but you better pay attention to who that is in me. Because he doesn't lie. And neither do I when it concerns these things. When I say I don't lie, yes, I've told lies. I'd be a liar if I didn't say I told lies, didn't tell lies. But you know what? There's something in me. When I do, I have to tell you the truth. So even when I'm kidding, to me, when I'm kidding, that's a lie. I'm kidding around with somebody, to me it's a lie. And I'll tell them, I'll say, that's not the truth. Don't take that serious. I'm just kidding. Don't want to do that, Brother Mo? Because I don't want to tell you lies. Although the flesh in me one time will want to pull your leg every now and then. The spirit in me will make it correct itself. And that's safe for me and for you, amen? So God put the man over the woman. For what's the scripture say? For I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is the man. That's the way it's set up. So now, with all that said, and now that I've got everybody mad and all the women ready to tar and feather me, let's see what the rest of it says. Let's see what it's saying here. Of course, it would help if I got to the right chapter, wouldn't it? One other thing about, let me back up. I read you that one, quoted you that one thing out of first out of Hebrews 13. Let me give you the other one. Verse 17. Write that verse down. You're going to want to study that one too. Because it has bearing on what I've just been saying. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves. The two favorite words, obey, submit. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves as them that must give account. For they watch for your souls. As they watch for your souls as them that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not in tears. But that would be unprofitable to you. Huh? Do you realize, Jimmy Townsend? I know you know this, that's why I'm picking on you. Do you realize, Jimmy Townsend, when you mess up in the Lord, first thing the Lord does is come and tell me about it? You know that, don't you? Put that camera on here. I want to get this on tape. Put that camera on here. Been through it. Now I'm telling the truth. The Lord comes and tells me about it. Do you mind if I share with them that time you were at the barn over there? Huh? Oh yeah, okay. He's brave. Praise God. Been humbled by the Lord. Jimmy tells me, correct me if I'm wrong, you were sitting over at the car barn one time planning suicide, right? Had a gun there and everything ready to put your head and blow your head off, right? The Lord told me about it. The Lord told me about it, said, call him up. So I called him up. Jimmy answered the phone. I said, don't do it, Jimmy. It's going to go straight to hell. Jimmy, what was your thought when I did that? Huh? Had to be a God. Did it surprise you? Yeah. Steve used to go off in the back and pray and pray and ask the Lord things. The Lord tell on him. Send me down here and tell him what he prayed. He didn't give me answers to it. Ricky Ball, same thing. Jeff, I can't count the times the Lord's told on you. Amen. Huh? This is the way it happens. Is the way it happens. If you mess up, God comes and tells me about it. Why? Because I am responsible. I am. And I better be able to give him a good answer. He comes to me and says, so-and-so's done such and such. What do you have to say about that? I better be able to say, Lord, I did this, 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 and this. And it better prove that I did everything in my power. And if I didn't, then it stinks to be you. Then the hammer falls on you. So if I'm in an authority in my house and my wife doesn't do what's right and I don't do what's right, it doesn't stink to be her half as much as it does me. And why do I want to do this? For my children's sake. There's not one person in here who would say they don't love their children. Is there? Is there anyone here that does not love their children? I love mine. Amen. What does the Bible say? What does it say over there in Deuteronomy? No. That's right. You could talk in the microphone.
I will visit the iniquities of the fathers into the third and fourth generation of them that be.
That's right. I will visit the iniquity of the fathers. Doesn't say mothers, does it? Doesn't say mothers. It says I will visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And this word hate me is not that word of hate me, filios hate. It's the opposite of agapio. It simply means this. I will visit the iniquity upon the fathers of the children who don't put me first. That's what it's saying. Now, women, some of you have children. 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 You ain't got kids. You better not, anyway. You don't. You do. Do you want his sins on your kids to the fourth generation? No. You don't want any sins on them. You don't want God to cut them off, do you? Do you realize if you force him to disobey God, you're bringing the curse on your children? Think about it. I don't normally go by feelings, but I tell you what, I got a whole anointing on me right now. You women better get a handle on this and stop this pride garbage. And you men better be men in the Lord and stop being afraid to stand up for what is right. When you cause your husbands to err and destroy their past, you women are cursing your children. That's God's word. And when you men aren't men enough to stand up and do that which is right in the Lord, you're cursing your wife and your children. Amen. But praise be to God, because God is fair, and God is love, and God is righteousness. He does say, if you turn and repent, he'll take you away. And there's another thing he says too. If you women are living with an unrighteous man, and you will be righteous and do that which is right in the Lord, and still love and serve that man in the Lord, then God will straighten him out or move him out, and you won't have a curse on your children. But God is equal and he's fair. So here, saying all that, and now just doubly making sure people are mad at me, I bring it down to this part. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Does this mean that I can't have a woman pray in the church? No. Does it mean a woman cannot prophesy in the church? No. Does it mean a woman cannot preach in the church? No. What it means is women don't interrupt. Especially it works when your husband is the one teaching. Nothing is worse than having a woman interrupt her husband in a church and argue with him. I had my first wife did it. His mother. It'd be something simple. Turn to him, number such and such and so and so. We're not going to do that one. We're going to do something else. Now, how can a church run with that kind of stuff going on? It can't. If the minister stands up and speaks, and the woman thinks in her mind she remembers it a little differently than he says it, and she's all the time, you've heard women do it. Now, that's not the way it happened. It happened so and so. Right? Marilyn's never done that to Jim, I know. You never done that to your husband, have you? You never tried to correct him and say it didn't happen that way. It happened some other way. You never done that in public. It's not the way you're supposed to do things. You know, especially not in the church. Amen? Get him home, beat him upside the head if you want to. But don't do it in the church. Praise God. Get your gloves on. At home. Not in the church. Don't do it in public. That man is your covering. That man is your head. That man is your representative to God. And you go and you attack him and embarrass him in public, you are dishonoring God. And it's one thing to do it in public, but my God, to do it in the church. It's blasphemy. That's what he's talking about here. He's not saying, it's like what these two girls are doing right now. Sitting over there talking while I'm preaching. Keep your tenor trap shut. If you've got to learn anything, learn it after church. But put your hand up and ask a question. That's what he's talking about. You see it? In every church you go into. It's just as wrong for men to do it too, by the way. God question, where's your men? That all may hear. Amen? But don't get over there and start whispering circles and talking and interrupting. God is a God of order. Hallelujah. So women are to be silent in the church. It simply means not to be interrupted, not to try to overtalk, and not distracted. Let them be under obedience. Amen. Let me take time here for one other thing. Alright? Now, Ricky, come up here. All the Kim, stand over here. Ricky, Kim, you come over here. Ricky and Kim are married. Dad says, Mary and Jim, but Jim's not here, so I'll pick on them. Ricky Baldwin is Jim's husband. Jim's my daughter. Who has authority over her? I am the minister here, the apostle. I'm her daddy. And he's her husband. Who has authority over Jim? Ricky Baldwin. Ricky Baldwin. I don't tell Kim what to do. Amen? It's not my place to tell her what to do. I have no authority over her except what he gives me. Amen? And the Lord, I have authority over them. But even then, it's not to make them do anything. Remember what we studied earlier? Minister doesn't demand you do anything. God ain't going to demand you. Of course, if you don't, it might stay for you. But when a minister says to do a thing, it's up to you to decide. And I'm not going to tell his wife what to do in or out of the church. And ministers that do that are wrong. I go to him. Amen? And if I want his wife to do something, if I'd like her to do something for the church, I'll go to him and say, you think Kim can do so-and-so? That's just honoring God. It's just doing that which is right. I'm honoring God's authority in the church. Amen? And if I did think good because I'm her father, and I go, hey, Kim, can you do so-and-so? She's bright enough to come back and say what?
Let me ask Ricky.
That's right. See? She'll say, let me ask Ricky. And that's right. And I'm not offended by that. In fact, it makes me feel good that she recognizes God's word and lives it in her house. How long have you all been married?
8 years.
How many arguments or fights have you had? There you go. Gary, how many years have you been married? 10 years. How many fights have you had? None. That's two out of two. I taught you, didn't I? Gary, I taught you, didn't I? Taught Jim too, didn't I? Taught you too, didn't I? Amen. My wife and I have been married 15 years. We've not had one fight. Came close. Came close. But not one fight. That's three out of three. Now, who says it can't be done? You know what the secret is? Let me tell you the secret, church. You're getting off the course a little bit, but if you hang with me, how long did you date before you were married, Kim? What? Say it louder. Wow. Never dated. Am I right? Never dated. Okay? How long did you date Kim before you were married? You didn't, did you? Both of them got married to husbands and never dated. Isn't that amazing? Do you love your husband, Carrie? She said, yes, without hesitation. Kim, you love your husband? She said it without hesitation. I love my wife, she loves me, and we never dated. Now, there's three of us, three marriages that were married, people, four, six people were married, never dated before they were married, and never fought in their marriage. What is that? Because Jesus is the center. Thank you, sir. Jesus is the center. I don't permit my daughters to marry. I mean to, without my permission. Thank you, sir. You saved me on that one, boy. I'll remember that tomorrow. I don't permit my daughters to date. Don't do it. And I encourage my son not to date. Now, what's the difference between, what's the difference? See, you're laughing all, but what's the difference? Huh? They're covering, that's right. You see, the father is the covering of the daughter till the day she gets married. But my son is responsible for himself. So I can't tell him what to do. But I can encourage him and entreat him and tell him, what is the rule? What is the law? Young men treat the younger women as sisters. You can't mess up when they're your sister. Amen. And young women treat the younger men as
brothers.
You cannot mess up. And you know what happens? What happens is this. When a man and a woman like Ken and Ricky are brother and sister in the Lord, he doesn't have to pretend anything. He's himself. She doesn't have to pretend anything. She's herself. So they get to learn who each other are without any deception. In the world, everything's based on deception. Boy sees girl. Boy likes what girl looks like. Boy immediately starts conning girl. Amen? Girl sees boy, likes what the boy's doing, and it's a con. So she goes back and cons him. And they both fall, quote unquote, in love, supposedly, based on a lie. Then they would get married. Their honeymoon's over. The husband turns to his pure, sweet, loving bride. Oh, honey, would you get me a cup of coffee? Get it for yourself. Who do you think I am, your servant? You were yesterday. That was yesterday. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that the way it goes? Huh? And all of a sudden the battle starts. Who's going to be the boss? Who's going to run the household? Who's going to run the pants? And we know who wins is the woman. Because there's a conspiracy. Did you guys know there is a woman conspiracy on planet Earth? Women teach the men how to cower to the women. It starts out with their mothers. It starts out with the mothers. Guys grow up. They're not afraid to get dad mad too much. I mean, dad blows up, gets mad, beats him a little bit, it's over with. Next day, they're friends again. They're friends. Dad doesn't even remember it. Amen? Don't get mother mad. Don't get her mad. She'll never let you forget. My mother is 76 years old, and she still reminds me of things I did when I was young. Amen? I'm in. My mother's a pistol. She's going to see this tape. Bye bye. And you know I've come a ways if I'm going to let her see this tape. Huh? But my mother, man, she used to be a pistol. Loved us. But she was the gunner in the family. She ruled that roost. And she thought she had to do it. Because nobody else would. No, ladies, you don't have to do it. You have to do what God told you to do. God will take care of the rest of it. See, you're not the husband's boss. God is. And when you learn that, then the marriage can work and not kill. If God loves you. Now, if you don't love him, you don't care. Do what you want. Amen? If you're not of his, what difference does it make? But if you're going to be of the Lord, and you're going to belong to the church of God, then you need to learn to do it right. Thank you, Rick Sander, and thank you, Kim. You need to learn to do it right. And I've got three here that can testify it can be done right. Amen? Alright. Verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak at the church. Now here again, ask their husbands. Who does it show here is their authority to be of obedience to? Their husbands. And it doesn't say, you know, if I'm sitting up here, I see you want to ask a question. Anybody can ask a question. But what it means is women don't be interrupting and over-talking and saying, what's he saying? Explain it to me. What's he saying? Explain it to me. The minister, when he stands up here, has a very important job. See, you might not know it. I don't come in here, I've told you this before, I don't come in here knowing what I'm going to say. I don't have a clue. I know where I'm going to start. I know that I'm going to come in here tonight and I'm going to start on verse 26. But that's all I know. That's all I know. I know Jesus. That's all I need to know. Amen? But I don't know what I'm going to say. So I pray before I come in here. I pray that people wonder. They say, Richard, why don't you pray in the beginning of the service for the Holy Spirit to come in and guide and direct and teach you? It's because when I walked in, He came in with me. I don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come in and teach me. He's with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He goes where I go, and that's the end of it. He said, Jesus said He would give you to me. He would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He'd be with me at all times. Amen. I believe that. If I have to pray and ask Him to send me the Holy Spirit, then I am in unbelief, which is sin. Anything that is not of faith is
sin.
Thank you. So, I don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come in here and guide and direct me and be with me. He's already with me. But what I do pray for out there is that I be obedient to the Lord and hear Him. So when I'm up here teaching and preaching, and you got somebody, some woman over here saying, what's he saying? Tell me what he's saying, da 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 da. And you got another one over here, and you got another one back there. What's that doing? It's disrupting the spirit and making it very difficult for me to pay attention. So I've got a choice. Sit down and shut up and hand the microphone to them. Or say like Paul did, women be quiet in the church. Amen? You go back and you listen to these tapes, and I've watched every one of them. It's the first time I've ever taped all services like this and watched them like this. You go back and you watch these tapes, and you will see the days that if you got any spiritual understanding at all, you will see when it went smooth and easy, and you'll see when it didn't. See, there were some days in this last 10 days where I had difficulty following what God was telling me to do. I had difficulty. I did it, praise God. But I had difficulty. And there have been other days where I don't do with no problem. And you go back and you watch and you'll see what was the difference. If you've got any spiritual understanding at all, you'll see it. All right, enough on that. What? Verse 36. Came the word of God out from you, or came it to you unto you only? Paul's being sarcastic here. What? Did the word of God, this whole thing of God, come out of you? Are you the ones who brought forth God's word? Or are you the only people that God brought His word to? No. This is a sarcastic statement. Remember the scripture, I think it was Peter said? Or was it, for the Word of God is of no private interpretation? The Word of God is no private interpretation. It means, basically, it means this. You can't think it means one thing. You think it means something else, and you think it means something else to be right. Either you're all wrong, or one of you's right. I just happen to stand in the advantage of being right. Now that may sound prideful, it may sound bold, it may sound a lot of things, but if you hang around me long enough, you'll see I'm right. I can say that. I've proven my ministry. Amen. Alright. If any, and look at what he says here in verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now what's he saying there? Saying what I just said.
If you're going to call yourself a Christian, if you're going to say you believe in God, if you say you're a prophet or minister or anything, then you acknowledge this one fact. These things that I've been preaching and teaching these 10, 11 days, they are true, they are correct, they are the commandments of the Lord, and you are responsible for them. Whether you believe that or not is neither here nor there. I'm telling you, it's neither here nor there. You are responsible for it. Now look at the next verse. Verse 38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. What's Paul saying here? If after all of this, you still want to be ignorant, go to hell. That's what he's saying. If after all I've taught you, after all I've said to you, after all I've proven in my ministry over the years, and you still want to say I'm wrong, go to hell. That's basically what Paul is saying. And if you don't believe it, just go read the first couple chapters. Go read the first couple chapters of Proverbs, maybe 3 or 4 chapters, and look at what God has to say about the simple. Amen. Now what does it mean to be simple? Ignorant. Willful ignorance. Do you realize it's not a sin to be ignorant of God's Word? I want to make that clear. It's not a sin to be ignorant of God's Word. It is a sin to be willfully ignorant of God's Word. Huh? And to be willfully ignorant of God's Word is to be simple. And there is no place in the kingdom of God for them. 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Back to the word covet again. Covet to prophesy. And forbid not to speak in tongues. For all of those churches out there that forbid your congregation to pray in tongues, shame on you. Amen. And if one has a tongue, let him give the tongue, but let another interpret. And if they can't interpret, then pray in tongues silently to yourself and to the Lord. Amen. And don't you forget it. Isn't that simple? Now, I want you to understand that these 4 or 3 chapters deal with not being ignorant in your gifts. You can't just take chapter 12 and say, that's the gift chapter. No, 12, 13, and 14. And if I really wanted to, I could go into 15. But we don't have time, and if the Lord permits, the next time I come up, maybe that's where we'll start, right there. Because now, I have to say, the Lord said, shut the tape down. Amen? Alright, I hope y'all enjoyed these things. I hope they've helped you. I hope God blesses you for them, and I hope you will listen to them and put them to practice. You'll be amazed. If you put to practice the things that I've said this last 10, 11 days, you will find things will change in your life like you never dreamed possible. Amen. Never dreamed possible. You love young ladies who are not married, take heed. Take heed. Don't run into marriage. Don't run into dating. Stay away from that. It'll just get you in trouble. Remember, Eve was deceived. And boys love to deceive girls. I know. I mean, was one. Love to deceive. But you wait on the Lord. God will be your father to provide you with a husband that will love you, cherish you, bring you up as God would want you to be brought up. Amen. And your young men, don't rush into marriage. Don't rush into it. Wait for the one God sends you. And don't think you can find a woman out here and change her. It doesn't work. It does not work. And let me say this. I know some in the church have been divorced. I know some in the church are going through divorce. I know there are churches out there that would condemn you to hell for that. But I will say this, God will not condemn you to hell. In fact, I know a couple of you in here that were married. In fact, I know two or three that were married, and God had nothing to do with your marriage. Since God had nothing to do with your marriage, you can't be under judgment from God for the marriage. Amen. And secondly, if you were not in the Lord and obedient to God when you did get married, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter any more than any other sin you committed beforehand. I never could understand these preachers in these churches that will take an axe murderer, a rapist, and a child molester who will come to the Lord, come to the front of the church, bring in an alcoholic, drunkard, or a drug addict, bring him to the front of the church, he'll blubbery, cry all over the place, accept the Lord, he'll love him, put his hand around him, bring him into the church, make him a member of the church, a deacon, an elder. Next thing you know, he's preaching out of the pulpit, and here comes some guy serving the Lord, or some woman serving the Lord, wanting to serve God and do what is right, have been divorced, and they treat them like they have leprosy. This is wrong. It is wrong. It's not God's way. It's not His way. And I don't have time to go into that. But go in and read what Paul says to Timothy concerning those things. Amen. All right, Brother Steve. Keep the music running. Just keep it quiet. While I'm taking up the offering, there's one verse I didn't read. Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Amen?
Amen.
Now, John will take it up their offering, right? That was for me. Amen. So there you go. If you like what you heard, praise the Lord.
Couple things real quick. One, each of these meetings has been taped. We've got them. We'll be making copies of those, and we'll be selling them for folks. I think it's something I'm looking for personally to going back through the whole thing. I know it's been a tremendous gift to have Richard up here these last 10 days and help out and help edify his body. Keep in mind, as Richard goes, guys going back to South Carolina the next couple of days, that the Lord will keep him safe down there. I know the folks down there in the church have really missed him. And I consider it a real blessing of the Lord that they have stood. That Richard can come up here and join with us. I mean, that's an important part of it. And he's going to have to be doing more of that. We're going to have to keep one another in prayer. The folks down there. Some of you guys don't know the folks down in South Carolina too much. But we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we have to keep one another in prayer. We really do all of these things that He's been teaching us this week. We're supposed to work amongst ourselves. It says, knit together in love, speaking of the body of Christ. And this is something that we need to do. So I thank the Lord for bringing Richard up. And I know he's going to be coming up here again shortly. He's going to be saying something here in a minute. But some prayer with this. And you want to speak? You want to speak? Sorry, sir. Thank you.
I'm hoping to come back up for a revival. And I'm hoping at that time the church will be ready to receive these gifts. Because I'm coming back to give them back. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you very much for the word this evening, and I pray, Lord, that you embed that word in the hearts of the people here, Lord Jesus, that you help us to mix that word with faith and to go forth in it, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for this offering. I pray, Lord, that you will bless, sanctify, multiply abundantly for Richard's use, and likewise back to the people who have given this time, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.